Welcome on into the Phillies Today podcast. I, of course, am your host, Buzz, and we got a lot to get to on this show here today. Listen, I understand the Phillies are on a four-game losing skid. I understand that things did not look pretty against those Milwaukee Brewers. I understand that this team is not playing, you know, up to the level that we expect them to play over the last 4 days or so. But we got to pump the brakes. We have to calm down with this overreaction. Like, you know, I feel like everyone, here's what I've really learned about this Phillies team over the last, not just couple of days, but really the past few months, is that everyone wants to react to literally everything. Everyone is looking to react to literally everything that this team does in the context of what does this mean for their World Series chances. And I don't know if you can do that over the course of a 162 baseball season. Even in football, we react game to game. In basketball, there's a little bit of a sense of, like, just get me to the playoffs. In baseball, like, there's so many. I hate to use the it's baseball line or the old cliche of, like, you know, the best teams, Colorado Rockies excluded, or teams like this 0-1 Seattle Mariners excluded. For the most part, baseball teams, you know, are, it's a given they'll win 60, it's a given they'll lose 60, it's what happens in the other 42, so to speak. I do believe the Phillies will both win and lose 60, and it'll come down to those 42, and I believe they'll be on the upper end of that in terms of, you know, winning 90 plus games. I think they're going to be in contention in the National League East all the way through the end of the year. I think this Phillies team is good enough, frankly, on their pitching alone. Like, just looking at what this team has in its arsenal on a day in, day out basis, it's pretty wild when you really kind of look at it and say to yourself, man, this team is, It's kind of like the 2011 Phillies. It's kind of like them. But at the end of the day, this is a team that we should not have massive, massive doubts about. We should not freak out because of a crappy series against the Brewers in late May, early June. We should not freak out because every little game or every little series is some big indictment on, you know, what this team's chances are. So far this season, again, they're 2 months into the season. If I were to show, you know, lay out all of the series they've played thus far, they beat the Nationals in a series, beat the Rockies in a series, beat the Dodgers in a series, lost to the Braves in a series, lost to the Cardinals in a series. That was a bad week. They split with the Giants, beat the Marlins in a series, got swept by the Mets. Again, that was bad. So that's three series losses we're up to. Beat the Cubs in a series, beat the Nationals in a series, beat the Diamondbacks in a series, swept the Rays, beat the Guardians, lost to the Cardinals. Now you're up to four. Swept the Pirates, swept the Rockies, beat the Athletics, beat the Braves in a series, and then lost to the Brewers. They've lost five series in 2 months. So, all right, so we're a third of the way through the season. Let's say they lose 15 series at the end of the year, and there's 52. That means they won 35, 36 of them. That means that they're still going to win somewhere close to, not quite two-thirds of their games, but, you know, broaching that. It's a good baseball team. Like, it's an overall good baseball team, and everything has to be taken in sample size and not just the one game you happen to watch on a Saturday or Sunday or the one game you happen to attend. This is a good baseball team. This is a very, very good baseball team with a very good pitching staff. Are there flaws? Yes. We're going to get into those. But I think the reaction has largely been overblown just by the simple fact that people want to make it out to be a whole, well, this is what it means for their World Series chances type thing. And that's not how you can afford to look at a baseball season each and every time. I don't think it's a healthy exercise to do that, so to speak. I don't think it makes much sense. I don't think it's how, you know, smart baseball fans look at the game. We spent so much of, you know, we spent so much time and energy with this team day in and day out to be flustered by three or four bad games. It's just not how things work. So overall, I'm quite happy with where the Phillies are at right now. I'm quite happy with how things in general are going. Now, listen, got a day off. Hopefully they clear their heads. Playing north of the border in Toronto. Maybe they'll, you know, let's go get back on the right track. You know, the Blue Jays, it's not like this is some team where you look at them and say, they're 31-28. Like, they're not a bad team. They have a winning record. They're in contention for a playoff spot, but they're not some unbeatable team. They're not some juggernaut. They're not some unbelievable force that this, you know, they shouldn't be able to get over the hump of. So, you know, when I look at this Phillies team, I see a good baseball team, not a bad one. I don't see one that there should be a ton of concern for. Now, I will give you my list of concerns here, so to speak. Listen, the bullpen obviously needs to be better than it is right now. I do believe that Dave Dombrowski basically has no choice but to add at this deadline. I don't think there is any... He's going to have to do that. Now, I am curious to see... Obviously, the news of the week is that they brought up Mick... They're bringing back Mick Abel into the rotation. Taiwan Walker is going to be that permanent, at least for now, bullpen guy. And... Which I assume means Max Lazar is going back to AAA. I think it's the right way to handle it. I don't think it makes a ton of sense to try and, you know, make a knee-jerk reaction to a relief pitcher type move until you really, really see what you have. Strom has been, I think, still good, but not nearly as good as he was a year ago. Kirkring's been a lot better. He kind of comes into, you know, crappy situations, so to speak. But... And obviously they lost Alvarado. Romano, you have too, who's been really, really good for the past month and a half, other than his one outing in Sacramento that didn't go so well. This team right now obviously needs a bullpen guy, but I actually would make the argument that the offense is more of a concern for me than even the bullpen is. I want another right-handed bat. I know a lot of people made something of the fact that Rhys Hoskins was coming back into town and maybe they could try and manifest a reunion with him. Now, the Brewers are pretty good right now. I don't know if they're going to be looking to be selling, but in a situation where they are, maybe you pry him from Milwaukee in the final year of a contract, you get him back in Philly's pinstripes, and Bryce Harper goes to the outfield, you know, Castellanos goes to left, and Max Kepler becomes a bench guy. Listen, the likelihood of it, probably not that high, but for the people who are against it, I don't understand why people were against it. It comes down to whether you think he's better than Max Kepler, basically. Absolutely, I think he is. I mean, watching, if I had one actual, like, big picture takeaway on this series against the Brewers, and really the past couple of days, well, a couple things. Number one is that there's just no way, and this dates back to the night game against the Braves on Thursday, there's no way that Wheeler and Lizardo are going to have both of them having their worst outing of the year in the same turn in the rotation. There's just no way that's going to happen. And then in terms of the lineup, without Bryce Harper, and we do expect to see Bryce Harper back in the lineup tonight, this lineup gets really thin really fast. You know, Realmuto's hitting too high, Bohm's hitting too high, Castellanos is hitting too high. I've kind of had enough of the Stott leadoff thing. That has nothing to do with Harper. This offense gets really thin, really fast, and it's definitely missing something, as you would expect. I mean, it shows you the impact that Bryce Harper has. However, I think he almost holds a little bit too much weight, if that's even possible. I think he almost, you know, it shouldn't be, the Phillies should not be that reliant upon his bat in the lineup. And I know he's a good defensive first baseman. I hope we don't go and overrate him, because I heard the argument against it be well, Rhys Hoskins' defense is such a negative, and that this would be like some sort of emotional reunion. I don't buy that at all. But let's say it's not Hoskins. Go get a legitimate bat to bolster this lineup, Dave. Like, I need at least one more offensive starter, whether it's an outfielder or a first baseman. They're not getting enough out of center field, not really getting enough out of left field. You could add a first baseman to put Harper in right, Castellanos in left, and displace Kepler, basically. I don't think they're good enough right now. And that is something where, listen, they will be good enough to win 90-plus games because their starting pitching just is that good. And then, frankly, like, for people who think they're not a good baseball team, we're just holding them to a higher standard. I mean, that is just the reality of things. You look at some of the teams they have coming up, they're better than... They got another series with the Pirates. They got two series with the Blue Jays coming up in the next couple weeks. They got four with the Marlins. Like, those are going to be games that you should win. Last thing on that, I don't necessarily buy this whole they just beat up on bad teams type of narrative thing either, because, as I mentioned, here are the good teams they've won series from. The Dodgers, the Braves, the Giants they split with, the Cubs they beat in a series, the Rays they swept, the Guardians they won 2 out of 3 from. Like, I don't, of course you're going to have a better record against worse teams. Like, that should happen. It wasn't that long ago that this team did not handle their business against bad teams, and they would go to Miami and lose. But overall, I think that this team does, you know, rise to the occasion more than some of the detractors want to give credit for, I guess, if that makes sense. There's a real large portion of the fan base that really just wants to pull away from everything they do, frankly. Really just... I don't know if the word is like... that they're just constantly waiting to pounce, but that's almost what it feels like, that they're constantly waiting for that other shoe to drop, for them to say, I told you so, I knew they weren't that good, and, you know, I insisted upon the fact that, you know, we were not going to be as good as we thought we were. And so that is kind of the frustrating thing, and, you know, we do this a lot on WIP or in... you know, people who discuss this team online, whatever the case is, it does feel like there's just generally people who are positive, you know, Phillies optimists, Phillies pessimists, and there's no crossing over. It's like you're one or the other. You are automatically on one side or the other. I consider myself a realist. I know it's a cop-out, but I think that realists should be optimists in this case. I think people who are smart and intelligent understand how good this team is and the potential that this team has. And so, therefore, I personally think it's a little ridiculous to say that. I think it's a little ridiculous to say that, you know, just because they show signs of leaking oil, or just because they lost in the playoffs, you know, 7-8 months ago, whatever it was at this point, that's not a reason to not believe in them. That's not a reason to say, I don't believe this team can reach their ultimate goal. That's not a reason to say, I don't think they are World Series contenders, because they are. I think anyone who is in denial of that is frankly being a bit ridiculous. I think they absolutely, absolutely are, and I just don't understand the thinking that they're not. Getting back to the needs for a second, bullpen clearly a need. Getting a bat, clearly a need. I think when Alvarado went out, and I was subject to this too, there was a little bit of an overreaction of like how they can even get to the deadline. I think they can get through June and July doing more than even just treading water. Of course, you got the All-Star break in there too, in terms of what this team's record's going to be. I mean, they sit here, as we sit here on Tuesday again, entering this Blue Jays series, they're 36-23. Even if they went, and let's say they have 2 months worth of baseball, so it's 45 games, let's say, like, if they have 60 plus wins by the All-Star break, by the end of July, they'll be fine. And they'll rack up into the 90s by the end of the season. I think it's just a matter of, you don't want to overpay right now for just for the luxury of having him for 2 months. Now this Walker thing doesn't work out, or Strom really continues to struggle, or Banks flies off the rails. All right, you know, it's an ever-evolving situation that you continue to monitor. But I think this is, you know, entirely... you know, I think this is an entirely fine way to approach things right now. I think this is a smart way to approach things right now. And again, I would love to know if people agree. You can tweet me at Dan_Wilson4. You can, you know, drop something in the comments section of one of these podcasts. Love hearing from where people think on all of this. The last thing I wanted to get to here, and this is kind of just a broader baseball thing, because walk down memory lane, I saw last night and then into today. What a crazy time. This is like a big picture baseball thing. So last week was the anniversary of Roy Halladay's perfect game. What a weird time being a baseball fan in 2010 was. You had in like a month long span, you had Dallas Braden's perfect game, which I believe was on Mother's Day. You had Roy Halladay's perfect game, which was on May the 29th. Then you had, and here is where, you know, today kind of comes into. Then and I want to make sure I have all my dates here correct, because the next real perfect game wasn't until April 21st, 2012, when Philip Umber did it. So the 2010 season had two perfect games: May 9th, 2010, Dallas Braden; May 29th, 2010, Roy Halladay. And then that's crazy, because in 2012, Philip Umber with the White Sox, Matt Cain with the Giants, and Felix Hernandez with the Mariners all did it like each 2 months apart in the year 2012. Within 4 days of Halladay doing it, Armando Galarraga, everyone witnessed it, should have had one. He clearly should have had a perfect game. It was very, I can't believe this is 15 years ago already. Jim Joyce blew the call at first base. He was very apologetic. And then the anniversary of today is him coming out and getting emotional with Armando Galarraga, who went out and did the lineup card for, I believe it was the getaway game the following day. It was a day game. But what a moment in baseball that was. Like the 28-out perfect game. You can always say, what if a guy blows a perfect game in the fifth inning, like the mentality of everyone changes, the strategy changes, stuff like that. To actually have it come down to the 27th out, and like there should have been a moment in time where the perfect game ended right there, and then ended up getting the 28th out also. I will always remember that. I was, I guess, finishing up sixth grade at the time, and that was something that got talked about for years and years and years. So what a weird moment that was for Armando Galarraga. What a weird time in baseball that was, that there were, again, nearly three perfect games in less than a month span. But that is just, and then again, three more in 2012, and then like three actual ones in 2012, and then you didn't have any until Domingo Herman 2 years ago. So, you know, weird stuff in terms of like how perfect games get spread out, and how just, yeah, and the Rays were involved, like a few of them. Dave Sims called too, because the Mariners got perfect game, and then Felix Hernandez threw a perfect game. So it was just weird stuff in baseball around that time, and I'll always remember the Armando Galarraga one. And he was a good sport about it. Jim Joyce was, you know, very apologetic about the whole thing. It was a kind of an uplifting moment for baseball. Galarraga could have been a jerk about the whole thing. He wasn't. So that was kind of a cool, uplifting moment in the history of Major League Baseball. That's going to do it for today's episode of Phillies Today. I always come back here for more episodes with myself, Francisco Rojas, and Justin Morgenstein. Until tomorrow, hopefully reacting to a Phillies win up in Toronto. But until then, talk to you tomorrow, everyone. Have a good one.